Maybe you won't even miss those 13 cents. And hey, someone has to pay for those big win studies. If the fact blew by you that it's probably your dime plus 3 pennies, you may not be alone. A few weeks ago, the PUC gave HECO its blessing to pass along that monthly surcharge, despite the change in scope of the project. You'll remember Molokai is no longer part of the deal to generate energy to power Oahu. And all of that has the Friends of Lanai blasting the rest of us to sit up and take notice. Friends of Lanai President Robin Kay joins us by phone now. Good morning.
Good morning, Bethann. Thank you for having me back on your show.
Well, it's good to talk to you about this. You've been sort of on a one organization campaign to get the rest of us to focus on this a little bit more than perhaps you think we should be doing a much better job of this. Are you at all bemused by the fact that the 13 cents seems not to be rankling people more than you think they should?
No, it's not amusing. It's sad, actually. I mean, one of the things we're going to be trying to do more of this year is focus on Oahu and getting more information out to Oahu ratepayers and taxpayers of what a boondoggle this big wind project is.
Well, you've been saying for a long time that ratepayers should really understand that they're going to be affected by whatever happens with Lanai and at that point in time Molokai. This has been a familiar refrain. And yet the idea is that somebody has to be paying for these studies. Your question is really, should that be the ratepayers?
Well, I go even further in terms of questioning the studies themselves. I mean, this has been, since 2007, 2008, HECO has been pushing big wind on Lanai as a solution to the state's energy problems, despite not having a single permit, not having environmental impact statements. I mean, they've just been so focused. And in fact, as we pointed out in the article, this IRP process that's ongoing now, HECO was criticized for being so single-minded on focusing on big wind by the independent entity. And the PUC has criticized them as well. So it's this single-minded focus of the Murdoch-Lingle project that's just not going to work.
So, but that has disappeared for a long time now, the way in which that the scope of the project was originally thought to be in 2007 or so. Obviously, you do a study to get a moment in time, and then that moment may change, as all moments do. Don't we need to so understand that just because we do a study doesn't mean that that study is going to be yielding results that will be equal to the kind of results we want to have now, that in fact it can change?
Well, sure, they can change. And that's actually one of the challenges of this whole process, is that everything, the numbers have been changing, the perspectives have been changing. And part of the biggest problem with this whole project, Bethann, is the opacity that surrounds this project. For example, we all know that there's a new landowner here. Larry Ellison bought all of Murdoch's property here, 98% of the island. And so you'd think that alone would have changed the ability of Castle and Cook to say they can still build this. But as you also know, they were granted the, quote, rights to develop it. But nobody's ever seen what those rights are. It's locked in a confidentiality agreement, so we have no idea if in fact Castle and Cook still has site control, which is the same reason, the absence of which, that the project ended on Molokai. And yet we're still being charged now 13 cents in addition for these studies. This whole project may be moot.
Maybe moot, but I guess that's my point to you, that whether it's moot or not, the study was done and needs to be paid for. So going back to the original question, isn't it really that the niggly point is who should be paying for this study?
That's a real good question. Why should we all be paying for it? Why didn't it come out of, as we say in the article, why didn't Connie Lau just donate that money out of her salary?
Well, that's a whole other issue that maybe we should ask Connie Lau. But at this point in time where we know the whole structure of how this project may roll out, and that's a big may, how do you see this going forward from this point on?
Well, the next step in this project is one that's been delayed for over a year, and that's going to be the launching of the announcement of the RFP, the request for proposal for the inter-island cable. And as you'll remember, there's already been two drafts, and the first one said we want a cable connection to Lanai, period. Whatever else is bid, it must also include a cable to Lanai. Well, that was roundly criticized. They came back with a second one that said you must have a cable connection to Lanai, or say why not. Now we're waiting for the final draft. We have no idea. We understand that draft's been submitted to the PUC, but it hasn't been, nobody's seen it. So the short answer to your question is the next step will be the announcement of the request for proposal for the undersea cable.
And the concern that somehow that would be island-specific when really it shouldn't be?
That's exactly right. They were told not to be island-specific, and so far their last two drafts were very island-specific.
All right, so at this point you feel like you're operating in a black hole?
Pretty much so, yeah. I mean, you know, the information is what we've been gathering from press releases, for example, from Castle and Cook. The only official document we've ever seen from Castle and Cook on Big Wind is the draft EIS they prepared in 2008. And that's where they said 400 megawatts, 22,000 acres. And so, you know, sometimes you see their press releases where they say 200 megawatts. Nobody knows. The only official document, really, the only official document was that one that was published in, what, 3-4 years ago.
And they're not talking to you now?
No. They talk by press release.
And that's the only way you've been able to find out anything?
Yeah, absolutely.
And there's been no way that you can get any of these pieces of information through any sort of other mechanism?
No, we actually have tried. We've gone to the Office of Information Practices in the state to free up some of this information. We've been unsuccessful. In part, they've taken it on as an appeal, but they're so backed up that they say that it will be at least a year before they actually get to this. We've petitioned the PUC to be involved in some of these processes, and they haven't responded to that. It's just been incredibly difficult to get any information out on this project.
Well, not for lack of, you'll excuse me, energy. Thanks very much, Robin.
Thanks for the call, Beth Ann.
Robin Kay is a spokesperson for Friends of Lanai. The organization is the voice of many Lanaians who strongly oppose the development of that industrial wind power plant that would send power to Oahu, possibly destroying some cultural lands in the process. The link to his op-ed is on hpr2.org.